Who wants to kick us off?
Why don't you tell us why you picked this, Michael?
I picked Godzilla 1954, the first ever Godzilla film, for a couple of reasons. One is that, so it first sort of crossed my radar. Obviously, I know, like, it's a very famous film, and I've known about it for years, never seen it. There were a couple of really well-received Godzilla films that came out recently. One of them, I think, was called, like, Godzilla Minus Zero. Or
Minus One.
Godzilla Minus One. But okay. Whatever it's called. We'll leave that as an exercise to the reader. In any case, I haven't seen it. I don't know anything about it, except I'm a total sucker for Rotten Tomatoes, and I just watch the things it tells me to. And it said that Godzilla Minus One is a really great film.
It is.
I looked and I thought, how many Godzilla films are there? I thought they were all crap. And I looked and, yeah, there's been like 200,000 Godzilla films, and almost all of them apparently have been pretty crap. But the first one apparently was pretty good. And I thought, you know, I could watch one Godzilla movie. And then I thought, I wonder if there's a decent version of it that we can find. And that, like the next month, the Criterion Collection were bringing out a brand new 4K remaster of it in the UK.
Mm.
And so I thought, well, it's meant to be. So I pre-ordered a 4K Blu-ray. That's how much of a film buff I am. That's what this film club has done to me over the years. And then it was my turn to pick a film when I just got the confirmation email that it was coming in 2 days. So here we are. Godzilla, 1954. What did we think?
Whoa.
Godzilla.
Sometimes I just say some words and hope it's the name of a film.
I always got that impression with you. Like that time we watched I Didn't Pick a Film, 1927.
Oh, just whatever.
Yeah, what do you reckon? Fernando, did you like this film?
Well, it was certainly not Godzilla Minus One, that is.
Right. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have seen it, and I thought it was really, really good.
Okay.
And I hated this film.
Oh, no.
It was so bad.
Okay.
Yes. Quite old indeed.
Yes, it was very old.
I'm sorry. I've really crammed quite a lot of super old, weird, black and white Japanese films down your throat over the years.
No, I mean, most of them were good, except this one. I guess I was expecting this one to be good because I guess I enjoy everything Japanese, and
okay,
I like Godzilla, except this one was absurd. I think there's only one rescuable scene, one that I did like, and that's when they're playing Go at the ship, and all the stones fall to the deck. That was my favorite scene.
Tragic. I thought they were playing drafts.
Drafts?
I'm going to have to go back and check. Yeah. I thought they were playing with big wide pieces on squares rather than little narrow pieces on intersections, but I could be wrong there.
Well,
in any case, I'm glad you liked it.
Yes. What about everyone else?
I really wanted to like it because you should always like the original, shouldn't you? That should be like, you should always be like, oh, well, yeah, I quite like that one, but it's not as good as the original. But it just wasn't very good, was it? It was...
No. No, it wasn't. You know.
Yeah. It pains me. I want to be a, well, actually, film buff, but...
Yep.
I'm with Fernando. It was old.
Indeed, it was.
Yeah. So what was lacking? Because, I mean, like, we've seen some great old films.
A proper film was what was lacking.
Yeah. Well, I think you observed how much I enjoyed the special effects.
There was quite a lot of laughing from you during the special effects sequences, yeah.
Yeah, it was mostly that, really. And then just this, like, oh, there's a scary thing. Let's do loads of illogical stuff.
Yeah, I see.
Crack on. That was about it.
Fair enough. Yeah. Laura?
I haven't decided yet.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh,
because you haven't finished watching it yet.
No, it's finished.
Great.
When did you finish it?
Oh, when did we start this meeting?
We started this meeting 8 minutes ago. Well, how many minutes ago did you finish watching it?
8.5 minutes ago.
Brilliant. Oh, is that why you were 2 minutes late? Yeah. I was going to say, that's fine. You don't have to tell us if it's only 2 minutes. But maybe it's not fine if you're texting us when you haven't finished one.
She had that's 4 minutes of film to get through at that point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well.
I think it was crap.
Hot off the presses, it was crap.
But I got a lot out of the special effects.
Yeah.
I enjoy that sort of thing. There was a couple of... I liked the political context. It was fun.
Did you? Yeah. I thought it was a bit subtle.
Well, you know.
Subtleties.
On the nose is a phrase that comes to mind.
Yes.
I mean, it was the nuclear bomb, Claire. How subtle do you want it to be?
Mm.
More subtle.
Yeah, I thought the first third was dreadful.
Right.
I really couldn't keep up with who was who, who's doing what, what's happening. There's a lot of... But anytime Godzilla was on scene, I perked up a bit. But not much. It'll be lucky to get 3 stars out of me. It's probably a 2-star experience. What about you?
Poor film. I thought it was a bit poor. Yeah, this wasn't great. It was good in a way. I mean, clearly we have to judge it as like a product of when it came out. So we need to give it the benefit of the doubt in a few areas, like the special effects. There were a few bits where it surprised me with how modern it was, and it had a few features that I thought hadn't been invented by that time. And that was interesting. But yeah, overall, it was not all that great. There wasn't great character development. There wasn't... I was never scared. It was never... Like, this was a horror film where I wasn't scared of the bad thing. And that's a shame. I was scared in, like, Nosferatu. And I was a bit scared in The Haunting. Like, old horror films have that capacity to creep us out sometimes. This one I would put in the category with like the Universal monster movies, like Dracula and Frankenstein and stuff from the 30s, where it's just a bit crap and it's not like particularly artistic or intelligent or psychological. It's just sort of, oh, there's a big thing there. That said, yeah, the parallels with nuclear stuff were quite striking. And again, seeing it in the context of its time, that lent it to an extra touch of gravitas, perhaps.
Ooh, gravitas, indeed.
If you will. But yeah, it wasn't really good enough.
Yeah. I suspect it was very well received. I feel like...
I think it was very successful.
Yeah.
I read that they almost went with an octopus.
Whoa.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah, would have been we didn't get
worse.
Worse than a man in a lizard suit that crumples when he walks.
It would have been a man in an octopus suit that crumples when he walks.
Yeah. It would have been 4 men in octopus suits.
Could have been. That would have been really like a panto horse.
Yeah.
They didn't trot that one out for one of the 800 sequels. Godzilla versus Mothra versus Octopus Man.
I don't think so.
Okay.
They should. Get me Universal.
okay, so I think we all kind of didn't think it was very good. Can I say why I did like it? The things that I thought it did surprisingly well. This was the original Steven Spielberg film.
What?
There were quite a few features in this.
Jaws.
That I thought Steven Spielberg invented, Jaws. So here's what we've got. It opens with a short, sharp horror scene where things are okay and then quickly there's a disaster and someone dies to raise the stakes with like throwaway characters that are just killed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in Jaws, just like in Jurassic Park. Then everything calms down a bit. We have the sort of real entrance to the film, which is mostly people talking about stuff It's people a long way from the action discussing stuff, including scientists, introducing the main characters, and showing us why these people are experts and why we care about them. Just like in Jaws, just like in Jurassic Park. We build up to eventually they go out, they start their adventure all together, and they see the thing for the first time, and they've built up to it a lot with this unseen horror thing. Again, Jaws, Jurassic Park, it's ages before we see the shark, it's ages before we see a dinosaur, and that makes it a big moment when it happens. In Godzilla's case, it is kind of a hilarious him going peekaboo from behind a hill.
Yeah.
Where it's just like his head with his big googly eyes peering over it. It's really shit. But again, they've built up to it with people see him, but it's in the dark. Then we see his footprints, stuff like that. And all of that, and then the fact that we're following these scientists who are like at the forefront of doing stuff, and who also are I think this is true of Jurassic Park and Jaws, they are at odds with most of the people in the story in that they have some respect for the creature that the others don't have. Like in Jaws, it's a scientist who studies sharks, who can see some beauty and like who's breath is taken by this shark, and in Jurassic Park it's people who studied dinosaurs their whole life, and here we've got this very conflicted scientist who to see the whole thing through the eyes of someone the one person who doesn't want to destroy Godzilla is quite thoughtful and quite interesting, just a little bit challenging. So just all of that stuff reminded me very much of much later Masters at Work. And I wondered if Godzilla invented these things or if they're just older even than that. Discuss.
The Jaws analogy occurred to me.
Right.
Mostly when they were deciding, I don't know, early-ish on what they were going to do about it. And it just, you know, it struck me that what was absent was a guy called Quint going, you know, for $10,000 you can have the head, tail, the whole damn thing.
Yes. Well, if there was a Quint, it was the eye-patched evil scientist working on his deleting the oxygen bomb.
The hot one.
The one of the hot ones, yes.
Yeah, that works. But yeah, it makes sense. It was probably quite an early one of these formulas. Which should have made it work well. I think, to be honest, it did it more clumsily, and the pacing felt off to me, and it felt like parts really dragged. Like the start of when all three boats go missing in a row, and then we're at the fishing village, and then all the stuff happening.
We need all three of those
boats,
or would two have been enough?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Oh no! And the next one that was over that bit's gone, and another one's gone.
It's like the comedy thing where they keep sending someone to find the last person who's gone until there's no one left. Yeah. That said, they got on with it, didn't they? There were a lot of...
They did.
And then the scene ends, straight to the next scene, cheesy screen wipe, get on with it.
I suppose it was for a while I wasn't following who anyone was and distinguishing any character, so it was just this blur of like dozens of people on the screen at once.
Yeah, it was a while before we settled on the cast.
Yes. Which is not the case in Jaws. Very much Chief Brody's.
Yeah, we'll get on with them. Yeah. Yeah, except that one sort of opening scene with the sacrificial lamb.
Yes. Yes, that matches. That's good.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, well said.
I wouldn't give it much license for the special effects, though, because King Kong came out in the 30s and was better.
Was it significantly better? I've only seen stills from King Kong. It looks pretty shit.
I mean, sure.
Oh, 20 years, fair enough.
What else was out in that time? 56.
1954.
54, sorry.
Trying to think of other films with special... Ben-Hur. Again, we're not talking about big sci-fi stuff. Oh, fucking Journey to the Center of the Earth with
brilliant.
With the iguanas and stuff.
They should have used a real iguana.
There's a thought. You'd have been all over that. You'd have been here right now saying they shouldn't have used a real iguana. That's so cruel. And that making it like feeding it petrol so it would cough it up and set fire to the city.
Duck all those extra horns on it.
And I'd have agreed with you. Yeah, no, they could have done something, couldn't they? So it was pretty shit. I wonder if they struggled with budget. I wonder whether this was pretty low budget. Because a lot of it was the just the little bloody toy trains and toy cars.
Love the toy cars falling.
It was exactly the same as the time machine, right?
Yes,
that's what it reminded me of.
Created this amazing, and they put loads of work into it, but it's just so obviously a tiny little car that they've pushed off a little table and it's gone bump. And I think you can get around a lot of that by just using bigger models. It doesn't have to be the size of a city, but instead of making the train like a little Hornby train like my dad's got in his loft, like use a narrow gauge railway, like you use something that's a meter tall, something like that. And you can get stuff looking pretty good. Like with, am I right in thinking the Isengard in the Lord of the Rings films? They built a full scale model of that that was sort of the size of a house.
I don't know.
And it's meant to be like half a mile high or something, but they made something that was, you know, 5 meters high, something serious in size, because something that big, it moves in the right way, it captures light in the right way. Was particularly with water. I think we know how water moves. We know how water forms waves, and we can see like these tiny little drops landing on a ship and being like the size of a car, and it was just so shit. So just make stuff bigger. It doesn't have to be, you don't need CGI.
But then we wouldn't get the fun of little toy people on their little toy car being rolled over.
Yeah.
Cut a real car, cut a toy car.
It just took me out of it so badly. I was trying to think how much would I be enjoying this film if I was scared of Godzilla. And I think it would have been quite a different watch.
I mean, you could sort of say that about any film you're not enjoying. It'd be like, wow, how different would this be if I was enjoying
it? I was trying not to get hung up on superficial stuff. It'd be like, yeah, maybe how much would I enjoy A Few Good Men if I'd never noticed that Tom Cruise has a middle tooth?
What?
Like, when you watch it, it's like maybe a bad film or maybe a good film, but all I can think about is the fact that when you see Tom Cruise smile, one of his teeth looks like it's directly in the middle of his mouth rather than having two front teeth. And it's really distracting. And whenever I see him, I'm like, look at your middle tooth. And that's a superficial thing that I shouldn't get hung up on, because that doesn't really matter. And if I can see past that, maybe there's some joy to be taken from the film that I'm not getting because I'm too busy laughing at it. Like, what if I had managed to see 300 without having seen all the like memes on the internet beforehand? It was this kind of thing. I thought maybe there's a great film in there, but I'm not sure there really was, right?
No, I think it would have needed quite the overhaul.
Yeah.
You know, we'd have to imagine, what if it had a good script?
Yeah. What would you do differently? What's could you?
I'm wondering how much of it was the translation.
Oh.
Like, how well was it translated? Because a lot of the scenes were like, stop the presses, get the doctor immediate. I don't know. All the language was so stilted.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, how would you have improved this film, Fernando?
By making it Godzilla minus one. No, I actually do not know. Because I was thinking of all the, I guess, the scenes with Godzilla and the scenes of destruction. How does one do that without, I guess, modern technology? You suggested creating bigger models. I guess I'm wondering how expensive would that have been back then? I just want to know what the people in 1954 thought of that film. Is it that they liked the film, that they thought it was ridiculous? Maybe
run out of the cinema screaming because they thought it was real.
Because to be fair, as in most of the Godzilla films aren't actually that good, and I wonder if this is just the beginning of films that aren't really good. Well, maybe maybe parts of the plot, as in I hated the oxygen destroyer. Yep. It was a terrible idea. I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
Just because it's scientifically unfounded.
Inaccurate, indeed. So perhaps finding a better way to get rid of Godzilla. Making it, that would make it slightly more believable. And some of the acting, for example, when the woman, betrays the scientist, and she says, I had to do it because I saw this horrible thing in the laboratories. And what she saw, her reaction was,
woman loves fish.
Yeah, did not match what we were seeing in the fishbowl. So maybe those, at least those couple of things, are things that come to mind when I think of maybe things that I maybe would have changed that maybe would have slightly improved the quality of the film.
Fair enough. Yeah, improve the acting, sort out some of the bad science.
Or improve the acting, improve the the reasons that people have, well, the actors have for reacting in certain ways.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I didn't think all the acting was great. I thought Dr. Yamane really stood out. I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, none of them had a lot of subtlety, but he did all the emotions, did all the faces. Did happy, did sad, he did sad a lot. Wistful, interested.
He was wistful quite a lot, I would say.
Yeah.
90% of him was.
He did
was
angry
wistful.
That time.
Yeah, yeah, he did angry.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure he did angry. I think it ended up being wistful. Okay.
It was a sort of shut off anger. I thought it was good. Yeah.
Didn't he impressed. Do lovesick?
No, he didn't do lovesick.
He may have done lovesick for Godzilla.
For Godzilla, yeah, maybe. Oh.
Poor Godzilla.
Or Dr. Yamane. do you recognize him as an old friend of ours?
No.
He's in everything that Akira Kurosawa has ever done.
I see.
Including Rashomon and Throne of Blood.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
But I guess not in Seven Samurai, because that came out the same year.
He was in Seven Samurai. He was the leader of the Seven Samurai. He was the main character in Seven Samurai, yeah.
There we go.
Which we should watch sometime.
Well, we should watch it right now.
Well, yeah. Watch Bug's Life instead.
We could watch Bug's Life. Oh, we could have a big Seven Samurai theme for a while where we watch Seven Samurai and The Magnificent Seven and A Bug's Life and that Star Wars spin-off that they were going to make that they'd never made.
Yes. Let's do it.
Can we watch all of those kinds of films? We could watch...
I'd love that.
What did we... We've watched it before. The Three Amigos.
Three Amigos. Yeah, yeah. Same basic idea, right?
Shanghai Nights. Also, no, Shanghai Noon, sorry.
I'm not sure these are quite the such close maps.
I don't really know. I'm just pitching films that I want to watch.
Films where there's a village and people come to it.
Yeah.
I see.
Anyway, I liked him. Someone else was saying something interesting, though.
How do they know it was a man? Not a man. A
male.
Male.
A boy Godzilla.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't. They just said he, didn't they?
Sexism.
Just went through, yeah. Classic.
Penis.
Yeah.
Maybe they just associate violence and strength with men.
Maybe the females have different colouring.
Maybe. That would be just like people, wouldn't it? To see a new species that's never been described before. It's nothing like anything we've seen on Earth before and be like, that's a guy right there. It's like God, right?
Masculine
just say
energy.
God is male.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know.
Default.
Let's just say, yeah, male is the default.
Well, maybe they were mistaken because in Godzilla 1998, they actually discovered that Godzilla is female.
Right.
Oh.
That's because she only attacks the villages and when she's on her period, though.
Ah, yeah, it just comes out every month.
Yep.
And spends the rest of the time just really moody, hidden under the ocean.
It's terrible when her cycle syncs up with all the other super monsters.
Kraken and Godzilla fighting over the bars of chocolate and bottles of white wine.
This is probably like an animated series based on this.
Probably.
There's so much Godzilla stuff from what I can tell.
No, it's my hot water bottle.
Oh, do you know, I'd love a hot water bottle right now. I'm on my period.
Oh, oh, hot water bottle's so good when you're on your...
A big hot chocolate and a nice hot water bottle.
Oh, it'd be great.
Was that why you've had two massive hot chocolates today?
Now that I'm saying it out loud, yes. It's certainly why I'm being so cruel in my marking.
Excellent stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think I said, did you mean to say this? That's the last thing I remember. I think I'd be cut if someone said that to me.
Oh, did you mean to say, are you serious? You should put, who do you think you are?
The fuck?
Other things we should talk about.
You know, can I say what I enjoyed?
Please.
The bits that I unironically thought were good.
Please.
So at the scene where Godzilla's rampaging around the town, great, obviously, but where there's a woman hugging her three young children,
mm-hmm.
Oh,
saying,
yeah.
We're going where daddy is or something.
Oh, and just, yeah.
Do we go back to her or is that just she's dead now?
She's dead. I don't think we see her again.
Yeah, wow, haunting, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there was just these odd moments of like really impactful, striking, dialogue. And
I quite like that. Because it was it's easy to lose the individual stories on something of that scale, isn't it? I find Transformer films. I think I've seen Transformers 12, or I've seen one of them anyway. And there's just like an entire town dies or is destroyed during a fight between other things, and it's like that's a lot of people and a lot of lives that are just ended now, and we've just brushed over that. I thought that was a nice touch. I agree with that.
You've often mentioned the scene in Titanic that you remember.
Is it the old couple?
Yeah. It's the old couple just holding hands in bed, and you know they're about to die, and you don't see them before or after, but they just get a few seconds of screen time, and it makes it that bit more real.
Oh, I'm not going to be able to sleep for days thinking about that.
I'm going to have to pick Titanic sometime. That's such a good film.
I'd love that.
I need days, honestly days, to recover from watching Titanic. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'll be able to cope anymore now that I've had Heather.
Yeah. You don't realise how important life is until you've got a child, Laura and Fernando. Changes everything.
I've broken for a long time.
You can reassure yourself that the Titanic sinking was actually just all a myth. It's just not real.
That's true.
Just
fake news invented by Big Iceberg.
It's to trick CEOs to go down in submarines so that they can have their submarine fail. It's a communist conspiracy. Ruin capitalism.
There's a huge shipwreck down there and it's full of Bitcoin.
Yeah, you can only go if you're rich.
Make your own way there.
Bitcoin. Sorry, that's just
that'll get them all going. I'll be down there
taking backpacks with them to collect all the Bitcoin.
Yeah, just shove all of the Bitcoins in. Thousands and thousands of waterproof non-fungible tokens.
Very good.
Oh dear.
I have one observation.
Oh yeah.
So I talked about the futility of other anti-Godzilla measures.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, we'll put up some barbed wire and we'll randomly bomb the sea.
I did think when they would just, you know, the depth charges before they'd figured out where he was. It's not very
good. Do you know what will kill it? Some loud bangs. Maybe nearby. Yeah. Who knows? There was bombing the ocean.
Yep.
Yep.
Arbitrarily. There was the...
Sending boat after boat.
Sending boat after boat. There was, yep, let's put up some barbed wire.
Yep.
Yep. We're going to electrocute it.
They did electrify it with tension. I don't know. sorry, that's a help reference. Yeah. Were there any others? Just most of their decisions seemed rubbish, like just sending in tanks and stuff when it can just stomp on everything.
They weren't fast to learn, were they?
No. Yeah. But I think there's a point. I think that's the key, is that conventional weapons were ineffective against Godzilla, who represented the nuclear revolution in weaponry, right? So all the conventional weapons that they're used to, and it took a new technology to be able to beat it.
Mm.
And that's what the oxygen destroyer was. And if they knew what the next thing was after nuclear weapons, then obviously they couldn't just tell you in a film, so they had to make up some nonsense science. It's like, oh yeah, it could be an oxygen destroyer. But yeah, I think that was part of the the allegory about nuclear power, or sorry, nuclear weapons, was how ineffectual all their conventional weapons were.
Yeah, I see.
And I don't think it, I think it was supposed to be frustrating to watch. It was supposed to be like, well, obviously that's not going to work because it's a big monster that's made of nuclearness.
Do you think that continued touching radioactive mud after being told that it is dangerous also is also a bad idea?
Oh, that's how dedicated you are to the science, isn't it?
But I mean, the guy looked, so he's handling this trilobite. One guy goes, oh, don't touch that, it's radioactive.
Mm.
And then the guy who's touching the trilobite looked, made eye contact with him, sort of nodded and was like, oh, yeah, yeah, sure. And then just kept holding it.
Mm.
Yeah, okay.
But he was like, oh, yeah, yeah, good point, mate. Yeah, thanks.
Academics.
I mean, he was going to put it down, but he didn't, like, drop it or anything. He was just like, yeah, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, I think that is just the way scientists work.
Oh, okay. I see. All the old school chemists in your building, like, pouring stuff over their hand to see whether it feels like it's carcinogenic or not. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen some very poor approaches to safety.
Just stick some on your tongue, figure out whether it's arsenic or not.
Well, there's a famous paper about how if you need to generate hydrogen cyanide for a reaction, then it's recommended that you smoke a cigarette while you're doing it, because a cigarette will change flavour and you'll know to leave the room because you've leaked hydrogen cyanide.
That's so good.
Ooh.
It's from like the 30s or something, but still,
yeah,
that's the level we're dealing with here. I'm not surprised he kept digging around in the horrible.
Would that work?
What's that?
The cigarette.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a legit thing. Brilliant. Yeah.
So there,
but by the time you're tasting it, it's in your bloodstream, right?
Well, that's why you do it through the cigarette, because it's filtering it, so it's going to react with something in the cigarette. So you taste that before the hydrogen cyanide gets to you.
Oh, okay. What if you use menthols?
I don't think it commented.
Okay.
Maybe it did. It's a long, long time since I read the paper.
That's cool. Sorry, we should remember how new the idea of radioactive contamination was. I think even when they dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they realised it would create a devastating explosion, but they didn't realise that there would be this fallout just this basically invisible disease that would cover huge areas of Japan and kill people years later. That was very poorly understood and was only recently understood by the time this film was made.
Wait, was that true? Did they really not understand radioactivity when they created nuclear weapons?
Yeah, I believe so. They didn't understand that it would work in the way it did. They just wanted to create a big explosion. There were serious safety, bad safety procedures when they did the tests in the US. Just went out to the Nevada desert or whatever, ignited a bomb, within 100 kilometers of cities, that kind of thing, and only later realized that like measurable serious amounts of radioactive material were being kicked up by this bomb, and they were going up into the upper layers of the atmosphere where they get spread very widely. There were very, very bad safety procedures just because people didn't understand. It's my understanding. I'm not an expert, but
wow, how interesting. Because I guess I would have expected them to understand it a little bit more, given that I guess so much theoretical physics must have gone into the creation of the nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
I guess in my mind that entailed some deep understanding of the physics, which included the radioactivity of the elements that were being detonated.
I think it was all happening at breakneck speed. By the time they detonated the bombs in Japan, they didn't know, that it had only been some small number of years or months since a viable bomb had been invented, so they hadn't had time to study the fallout of it and stuff.
Which is precisely,
I think they knew about radioactive decay and stuff, and they that's what Marie Curie died of, right?
This happens time and time and again. As in, again, we're doing things at breakneck speed. As in, I think it was in 2020 that we started putting like 5G towers, cell towers, not knowing that they spread the coronavirus.
Yeah, it was so short-sighted. I'll put a link to Wikipedia in the show notes so that everyone can just brush up on that one.
Oh dear. My old ward in it, the halls that I was the assistant warden at, was a big, not fa- you know, 5G conspiracy theorist.
Oh Christ! Yeah, it's, I think,
a,
I remember
it's American.
That. Right,
it's not a conspiracy, Laura.
Sorry, yeah, no, I don't. I wouldn't.
It is a conspiracy. They're all in on it. They're trying to.
Did you know about Americans testing hydrogen bombs near Japan throughout the '50s?
I did not know that.
Underwater.
I read about that just yesterday.
I only came to know about it through this film. So, thank you, Godzilla.
Yeah, I think I didn't know specifically that. I knew they were doing nuclear tests all around the world, wherever they felt like it.
But they started in the Marshall Islands, and the fallout reached Japan very quickly.
Right.
Honestly, I am sick of America at the moment. Get your shit together, guys.
You need to dial in at the moment. I'm definitely sick of America 70 years ago.
And all history.
And all his, yeah.
They need to take a good, long, hard look at themselves. And so do the British. I'm saying it.
Yeah. So brave. You're quite right.
Yeah.
Can we extend it?
Koreans.
How about Israel? All people? Israel.
Yeah. All the people of the world. I think this episode is descending into...
Yeah, what other countries don't you like, Laura?
I've got the map open. Hold on. Let's do a little...
Okay, go around. It's Luxembourg.
Mongolia.
Yep.
Yep. Specifically Ulaanbaatar.
Yeah. Shockers.
Yeah. Fuck the people of Ulaanbaatar.
I'll let them know.
I'm sure I had more thoughts about Godzilla.
Could we dig a bit more into... the stuff to do with the nuclear bombs then?
Yeah.
It's one of the few things I knew about this film before I started is everyone saying, oh yeah, Godzilla is a metaphor for the nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And this is well known, and this because it was part of the Japanese psyche at the time and all of that. And that it didn't quite present that in the way I expected it to. And I wonder what you guys thought of it.
Oh, how did you expect it to be presented?
Well, I thought it would be like a sort of allegory where they never mention.
Oh, I see.
Nuclear bombs.
They mention it every 5 minutes.
Yeah, here they're mentioning it all the time. It's just a background part of life for them, as I guess it must have been for Japanese people at the time. Just this ever-present threat of this horrible thing that had happened, that people knew someone who, you know, many people knew someone who died in these attacks, and it would have felt quite terrifying. That there's some of the shots even that you see after Godzilla is attacked are this devastated landscape that it looks very clearly like.
I thought even at one point his head coming up looked like a mushroom cloud.
Oh really? Oh, I never got that. But yeah, clearly we were meant to draw a parallel there. But it was interesting that wasn't subtle. That wasn't like you're watching it and you go, oh, hang on, I think this is about the nuclear bomb. This is like everyone's talking about all the time, and characters on the train near the start say, oh, I've had about enough of this. I just got away from Hiroshima in time, and now Godzilla's here as well.
That would be me. I identify with that woman. Typical. Could only happen to me.
After another.
Someone survived Hiroshima and Nagasaki, didn't they?
Oh, they did, didn't they? Yeah, they just happened to travel from one to the other and witness both bombings and just got away both times. Awful.
Have you seen Oppenheimer?
No.
No, I haven't.
Oh, right. Well, it's worth a watch.
Okay. Yeah, people said it was quite good. I've been been stung by Christopher Nolan too many times, but I was considering it.
It's a more linear story than he usually tells.
Oh, okay. I'm just picturing like a ball of wool all tangled up.
Do you know about the American version of this film?
Yeah, I briefly looked this up. Can you remind me?
I mean, I'm doing my usual. If I've read the Wikipedia page, so I'll let you relate to the Wikipedia page to you. But so you correct me if I'm wrong. Got the rights to this to show it in America. The director, not the director, but the whoever it was, cut 40 minutes out, including any mention of anything political. So all the stuff about the nuclear bombs, you know, Hiroshima, Nagasaki.
Brilliant.
The end, and then just pasted in an American actor. Just reacting to things.
Okay. That was quite funny. It's not totally unlike what they did with Power Rangers, right?
I don't know.
Did you watch Power Rangers when you were a kid?
Yes.
Yeah, so that I never knew this. I loved Power Rangers when I was a kid. You can look it up now. Half of Power Rangers is an 80s Japanese TV show about people fighting giant robots and stuff. And they took that bit out and cut it. They just took the action scenes with the people in the suits. So the full body suits, so you can't see who's inside them. Took all of the action scenes and cut out all of the bits with the actual characters, made a totally new bit with American actors with the actual character stuff, and that was what Power Rangers is. So every time it goes to one of the battle scenes, it's a completely different cast. Recording it several years earlier for a different series. And the Yellow Ranger is a boy in the Japanese version, but it's the Yellow Power Ranger is a girl in the American version. So if you sort of look closely, she's wearing the full suit, but she's conspicuously suddenly a man if you actually look out for it. So it's something along those lines, right? Sort of using footage from it to kind of chop and change and create something that suits your own audience better.
Well, wait. you're telling me that you watched like the Japanese Power Rangers?
No, I watched the American one. That's what we got in the UK. And I loved it. It was brilliant, but it never really occurred to me that the whole like the whole color profile is totally different in all of the in all the action scenes. It's when you look for it, it's strikingly different.
And you just never notice. Pre-watch the Power Rangers, then Power Rangers.
Yeah, yeah. Watch the first couple of episodes of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's a real sort of it's a real time capsule. Now it's so great.
The music, it is
nothing else
on Netflix. Wow. Okay.
Great.
Power Rangers would win against Godzilla, or would they be stomped?
They'd have to form the big mega Power Ranger, I think.
Yeah, that's it. They form the, if my memory serves me right, the Megazord, where they all get into their like they all get into their little capsules, and then they merge to form one giant robot that beats up the other robot. And it's all done in a very much like it's actually just someone in a big suit, and they put the camera down on the ground so it's looking up at them, and they're like fighting next to models of skyscrapers and stuff, but it's actually just people who are normal size in big suits. And this is very much the approach they took with Godzilla, isn't it?
Yes, I'd say that came through.
So I guess it's all part of the same.
I think this was one of the pioneers, though.
It's got to be.
According to my reading of the tiny town man in suit.
Yeah. So, which is, again, I'm thinking this must have been very influential.
Yeah.
Without this, there'd be no Power Rangers. And without Power Rangers, there'd be no Thor Ragnarok.
Without Thor Ragnarok. Oh, wait, no, I have to influence anything.
Oh, wait, that's never inspired anything of any value. I can't remember what my point was going to be. Yes, that's interesting. They did that for the US version. And yes, also interesting that they cut out all of the political stuff.
Bloody man.
Yeah. Say it again. keep saying it. Bloody Americans.
Yeah. No, we like the Americans. One of my best friends is American.
Yeah, I know three or four Americans I really like.
Yeah.
Really?
But there's one other American I met who I didn't like at all. So.
Oh, I met loads of Americans I don't like.
Aha, well. people are mostly all right wherever they're from.
Yeah, that's true. I've met loads of Americans I do like too. That's the price of going to Disney World, Florida.
Yes.
It takes all sorts to make a world.
I think I've got everything off my chest I wanted to say. What do you think of the ending? Acceptable ending?
No.
No?
Oxygen destroyer?
Oxygen. They use the oxygen destroyer. It destroys the oxygen. Dr. Serizawa sacrifices himself so that nobody can compel him to reveal his secrets about the oxygen destroyer.
Yeah.
Mm.
And Godzilla is destroyed, and we properly see his bones and stuff, so there's no, oh, maybe he'll come back. But then Dr. Yamane brings out, well, there's got to be another one, and I'm expert.
There's got to be a girl one somewhere. Late, as
there's
usual.
Got to be a girl. Doing her makeup, no doubt.
Yeah, fine. I mean, you know, Godzilla will live on in their hearts, no doubt.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's been 1,000 sequels. I quite like them.
How many of them have you seen?
I haven't seen minus one, but I think I've seen most of the rest.
Wow.
Most of the rest. Well, weren't there like another eight in the 50s?
I've seen I meant from the 2000s onwards.
Okay.
It feels like there's been a lot since 2000.
Yeah. It's your contemporary ones.
Yeah. The ones with the girl from Stranger Things.
All right.
Yeah, she wasn't very good in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Millie Bobby Brown.
That's the one.
Ah.
She was all right, but, you know.
I liked her in the Sherlock Holmes thing.
Yeah, she was good in that. should we play games?
Yeah, why not?
What games do we normally play? I would say cast ourselves.
Would you cast yourself as?
Did anyone have enough of a personality to?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Bagsy, hot man with eye patch.
Yeah, you're the hot man with the eye patch.
killing all my or whatever his name
Yeah, is. Killing everybody, but in a very sort of sanctimonious way.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's not what I think at all. Claire is Emiko.
All right, so thanks.
Basically, nice girl.
I think Claire's Yamini.
Ah, you think I'd want to study Godzilla while he destroyed Tokyo?
You and your bleeding heart.
All about the signs until one person tells me it makes them sad. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, whatever. Let's leave it.
And I'm Godzilla.
Lovely. Yep. Just turning up and going,
turn up, make a big noise, get a lot of people involved.
Was it evident to all of you that Dr. Daisuke Serizawa was gay?
No.
No, but I'd love to discuss it.
Well, I just made that up, but I'm sure that he is gay.
Yeah, okay.
I thought the Serizawa Ogata fight scene was quite
homoerotic.
Full on. There's a lot of punching, a lot of grabbing, and then like he knocked him out, but then like held on to him for a bit and helped him. There was an interesting love triangle.
Too gay.
Quite right.
Do you think this was a horny film?
Yes, it was.
I'm not sure it was. I mean, can it be horny if it was so somber?
It was pretty somber.
It was pretty somber.
No, maybe it's not.
It's
a new
genre.
They can't help being very good looking.
Yeah.
But I think the eye patch was meant to like make us view him as a bit like horrific and disfigured or whatever, but in a way it just lent him an extra air of cool.
There's no one's never not sexy in an eye patch. Name one person who's not rocking an eye patch.
There's a theme for a few film picks.
Does Doctor No have an eye patch?
Doctor No, I don't remember now. Yeah, I think he has an eye patch.
One of the villains does, I can't remember.
He doesn't, no. I just misremembered him with an eye patch.
How was this film like Black Narcissus?
Oh, the nuns? No.
Nice try.
It was the real threat was from inside their own minds.
It wasn't, though, was it?
I don't think it was. I think the real threat was from Godzilla.
It was terror that was the real killer.
I think it was the fiery heat ray that melted all the pylons and blew up all the buildings.
What about absurdly small props? Because they had those tiny horses.
Oh, yeah.
Animals aren't props, Claire.
Yeah, they are. What else are they? Actors?
Oh, are animals actors?
I've never heard of the phrase animal actors. I suppose you think Homeward Bound is just a film about a load of props running around.
Kind of. Animal actors.
In the same way, the picture of Homer Simpson isn't an actor.
I think that's all the games.
Oh no.
Oh,
they read some out for us, Fernando.
Isolation and alienation. In Black Narcissus, the characters, particularly the nuns, experience a sense of isolation and alienation in a foreign environment. Their psychological struggles, driven by the tension between their religious vows and the sensuality of the exotic landscape, reflect a battle with inner desires and conflicts. In Godzilla, the creature represents isolation in a different form, emerging from the depths of the ocean, a force of nature that disrupts human society. Godzilla itself is an isolated being, often misunderstood, and its existence is a metaphor for humanity's growing alienation from nature and the consequences of atomic warfare. I'm convinced that ChatGPT is now a superhuman intelligence.
Me too. Why do we even bother? That's amazing. Reflects their struggle against the untamed sexual and sensual forces of nature. Are you kidding?
I think these are pretty tenuous. But as usual, ChatGPT has excelled at writing something that at first glance seems pretty convincing and looks like about the right sort of thing. But when you look at the creature represents isolation, a force of nature that disrupts human society. It's definitely a force of nature that disrupts human society. Is it? What's it's it got to do with isolation?
It's an isolated being. Read the next
sentence. It was. Like, it's not isolated when it's smashing up the city. In the sense that there's only one of it.
Isolated.
You can say that about anything. Hurt the prime people, of Miss Jean Brody people. Is about isolation because there's only one Miss Jean Brody.
How is it misunderstood? People are like, oh, yeah, if we just listen to
it. It is a girl. It is a girl. It is not a man. It is a girl.
So I just wanted to be friends with Tokyo. You see, it's that you look at it and you go, okay, quick scan, looks about right.
Copy and paste. But submit. Do MMS.
Doesn't really stand up. Nature's power, there's sort of something there, but...
He's misunderstood because they never quite understand how he's so resistant to radiation.
Yes, he's invincible and they don't understand that he's invincible. Isolation.
Yeah, that's what they've done there. They've called it isolation and alienation. And one of them is an isolated setting and one of them is an alien being. And they've just written and then said, yes, these are common themes.
And I mean, these are reasonable. Again, I feel like there's this phrase that if you show, like, tell an English person you've invented a machine for peeling potatoes, they won't believe you. And when you show them it peeling potatoes, they'll ask why it doesn't also slice pineapples. And I'm not saying this isn't a great tool, and it's like, it's amazing that it's done this, but these aren't great points at their core.
Well, you have to make a better one.
I should try. Yeah, I couldn't make a better one. But we shouldn't get carried away.
I think we should, before we even meet, we should just ask it to discuss the film from four different perspectives.
Yeah,
we
can. And it'll get 100,000 listeners every week. Yeah. And we'll just have Will.
Will abandon us.
What our general approaches are. Like.
Yeah, see if it can absorb our character.
Can we try and characterise each of our preferences and opinions, and then just see what ChatGPT says.
I could definitely feed a large language model the entire history of the podcast, have it listen to the four of us and try and make more of it.
We should definitely do that one time just for the
lore. It could be fun, couldn't it? I think that would be doable.
Yeah.
I feel like mine might come back as somewhat inconsistent.
That would be fun, right?
Like, oh, Claire's had a rubbish day. And she hates the Shawshank Redemption. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm determined.
Does anyone have...
I really want to beat ChatGPT on this, though. I want us to come up with something. Like,
about the link between them. You got it already. It's the tiny horses and the tiny trains. Don't overthink it. And you said it in like five words. You didn't do all this blithering and writing bullet points. And we got a student submission the other day on one of the pieces of coursework. They had a section where they put a table with their results. And the top of the table said, sure, here's a table with those values inserted in it.
Oh, no. Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't even like something serious cheated on. It was just so obvious.
I'm on my period, so I'm reporting fucking everyone I'm marking to for academic misconduct. If they use the word delve, I'm like, ChatGPT. Nobody uses the word delve except me.
Does anyone have any high quality original points to make about Godzilla?
No.
I think we had fun.
Not a single one.
It's a shame. Yeah, it was a very good film.
It is a shame. Yeah, it's a shame when things don't
work. I'm glad we watched it, but...
Yeah, it's nice to hand into the canon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good luck editing this. I feel like that was...
Somehow important, yeah. I'll be a bit selective here.
Yeah.
Oh, well. It's just nice to hear your voices again.
Oh.
We should do this more often.
How do you think you'd react to Godzilla appearing in St. Andrews? Or indeed Mexico City.
Christ. He seems a bit more like a Mexico City monster. Although that's a long way from the sea, right?
That's a bit
racist. We are in landlocked.
Oh, could never be St. Andrews. Untouchable. The bubble.
St. Andrews is a nice little town.
Oh, can you imagine in the UK it would be a newt, wouldn't it? No one's ever been threatened by a newt. We'd get Gussie Finknottle to come and deal with it.
Gussie Finknottle would be the scientist that tries to save it.
We'll put up the barbed wire just now.
Yeah. Start bombing the North Sea.
Yeah. Indiscriminately just start bombing.
You know, there's a thing where you you know, if you've seen something in a trailer, you're sort of mentally ticking off the things you've seen in a trailer as you're watching the film. Or if you watch a Disney Plus, an old film on Disney Plus where it says something about cultural depictions all wrong then and wrong now, you're like waiting for the thing to happen. Yeah. And for this, it opened by saying, thank you for the cooperation of the Japanese Coast Guard. I was like, whoa, what have they been doing? What do they need the Coast Guard for? And it was like, oh, they detonate these massive bombs in the sea. Brilliant.
Should I play the music?
Oh, please.
Here we go.
Three, two, one.
Scissor. Rock. Damn it.
Okay, yes. It's Claire.
Right. I've got something written on my phone and I don't know if it's actually a film. And there's also a concern that it was recommended by KJ and is therefore just a bit mad. All right, okay. Yeah, this is a bit mad. Let's go with Holy Motors from 2012.
Okay.
Holy Motors, 2012.